We're starting a new series this morning. And do you know what it's called? I don't seem to have any pictures up there, Ross, is there? Thanks. It's called Building a Healthy Church. And you know, that last song that we just sang, I would guess, should be the anthem for this whole series, really. Because this series is about depicting his church as it truly should be. Do we have a bit of AM? I love technology. And how should his church be? Well, it should be vibrant. It should be full of life. It should be standing out, shining brighter in an ever-darkening world. Now, that's probably words that we would all say, but are they words that we believe that's who we are as a people? So, this morning, Jacqueline and I are going to share, and if you're a bullet point person, I'm sorry, we haven't got any bullet points, because this morning is about painting a backdrop for the rest of the series. And in that, I guess it's thoughts that we have been praying about and looking at as we've prepared. And I think that's important because a backdrop is preparation for what's to come on it. And I think some of what we're going to share maybe is to challenge some of our thinking about how we perceive church. And I don't think we intentionally do that. I think sometimes we just take on what the enemy says or what the world says, and then that's how we live church. Well, that's not the church we're called to be. So through this series, hope this is going to work. Yeah. We're going to look at chapter 2016 of our journey. So it will cover our purpose, our mission, our outreach, giving, community, culture, and serving. And our heart and our prayer for this series is that we catch afresh the power and the momentum of his church in today's world. See, too often we see the world as bigger than the church, and that's a wrong perception. May we, through this series, settle for nothing less than being a healthy church. And just a reminder, when we talk about church, we're not talking about a third person. We're talking about you and me. We are the church. So, this morning, we're looking at the same picture that I was looking at. B. We're looking at the local church is the hope of all the world. Do you believe that? Oh, what's two do anyway? So that's good. That's a start. But it is. It's his vessel to reach the world. And it should be the most effective, exciting, healthy organization on this planet. And it should have a real passion to grow. Do you believe that? Good. We're warming up. So, where do we find the root of today's modern church? Well, in Matthew 16, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." Then Jesus goes on to say this, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then there's another verse that Jesus was saying to the disciples. We've used this a lot recently, but I don't apologize for that. Acts 1:8. Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We are the ongoing story of the church as we continue to the ends of the earth. You know, because I think one thing I would want to come out of this series is that we have a nation's perspective of who we are and what we're called to do. That isn't belittling what we're called to do within our street, our neighbours, our town, our region, our nation. But what it will do is give us a God perspective and expectancy of what the church should be. Bill Hybels writes in his book, Courageous Leadership, this in regards to the local church. And when you look at verses, the local church is the hope of the world, I guess everyone uses this, but this really does sum up what a local church should be and the hope of the world. There is nothing like the local church. When it's working right, its beauty is indescribable. Its power is breathtaking. Its potential is unlimited. It comforts the grieving and heals the broken in the context of community. It builds bridges to seekers and opens its arms to the forgotten, the downtrodden, and the disillusioned. It breaks the chains of addictions, frees the oppressed, and offers belonging to the marginalized of this world. The potential of the local church is almost more than I can grasp. Isn't that amazing? That's you. That's not words on this sheet. That's you. That's who you're called to be. Jesus has big plans for his church. He states, as we've read earlier, that his church will be able to stand against the gates, the forces, literally the doors of hell. So how are we going to do that? We'll do that through his Holy Spirit. That's within us. That's God's power. A power that gives us the ability to do unusual things. Things that are not of us. And you know, that should be the norm for people of God. To do what humans say is impossible. Do you believe that? You know, perhaps one of the reasons why so many churches make so little difference is because nothing goes on that could be explained by God's power. It's all done in our strength. The way God works is powerful. And his people are almost always the instruments that he will use. He uses you and me to bring his message to others. That's how it works, folks. We bring his hope through being filled with his power in participating in his purposes. So don't let your everyday issues overcloud that. Don't let them become bigger than his purposes. Because you are the church. We are the hope for this world. Now my lovely wife is going to come and share. Now I'm going to come back. Everyone's saying to her how much younger she looks with her haircut. So I'm having my haircut this week.
Okay, so in regards to being the hope of the world, I just wanted to look at some of the components of being a healthy, vibrant church. A number of years ago, God spoke to me in terms of, I was questioning, you know, God, you say that we can have life and life in abundance, but what does that actually mean? Because in the mundane, in the everyday, day-to-day, I didn't feel like I was having life in abundance. And God was talking to me about pursuing him, pressing into him, seeking his presence. And in that, he was encouraging me to build on the characteristics of developing my hope and my faith in him. So in Hebrews 11, we're very familiar with the verse that says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And I just find that a really strange thing, you know, to have a substance, faith being a substance of things hoped for. What are we hoping for? And the definition that I like at the moment of godly hope is a joyful expectation that something good is going to happen. You know, it's not wishful thinking. It's not, I hope the weather's going to be good. I hope I'm going to feel better. It's that godly expectation that something good is going to happen. And it's in that hope that the atmosphere is created for faith to grow. And I've been learning, I think we all do, don't we, in a Christian walk, in what it's like to, who is it that we're hoping in? Because we are called to be a people defined by what God says and what God promises. And you know what? He is dependable. He is trustworthy. He is the first, the last. He is the one who was and is to come. You know, he was persecuted for our freedom. He reigns to bring us peace. He is light and love, his faithfulness, his goodness. We can't but help being able to be to put our faith in him, because he is God. And it's always good to have examples of men and women of faith in the Bible, and we know the story of Abraham and Lot. They're two men that God called faithful and righteous, but both lived out their faith very differently. Abraham was a man of faith, and when he was 99 years old, God told him that he would be the father of many nations. You know, and he didn't focus on his old age, his impotence, Sarah's old age and barrenness, but righteous Abraham defined his surroundings because he was full of godly hope. Whereas 2 Peter, it tells us that righteous Lot was oppressed by the sensual nature of other men. Lot was defined by his circumstances, whilst Abraham defined his. And it's by faith that we inherit the promises. And hope is that atmosphere where faith is birthed. Our hope is rooted in the character of God. And because of his character and his promises, God wants us to dream big dreams. I don't know if you remember the series that we did some years ago, the Sun Stands Still series, where we were encouraged to dream the impossible so that we can bring the super into the natural. Because the flip side of the coin is that hopelessness is the opposite of fear. And hopelessness is the offspring of fear. So hopelessness is the opposite of hope. Is that what I said? It's the offspring of fear. And that's why we need to do all that we can to develop our faith. It's why trials, mistakes, missed opportunities, whatever, it helps us to grow spiritual muscle and prepare us for what God has for us if we persevere in that godly hope. James 1 tells us to consider trials as an opportunity for joy. Didn't have a slide for this one. Oh yeah, we do. Joy is part of being a vibrant, colourful people, a healthy church, and it's because we're a people of hope. And James 1, verses 2 to 4 says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." So in other words, trials equals faith tested, which equals endurance, which equals completeness. Holding an eternal perspective gives us hope in God and gives us a godly perspective. Does that mean we're in denial? Does that mean we're being unrealistic? Does that mean we're being super spiritual? No, because in James it tells us that when our faith is tested, it is stretched and grows, and endurance over time toughens up our faith. And as our faith matures and leads to completion, that's the joy that cannot be overcome by trouble. That's something really to attain to, isn't it? To learn what that actually means. And how do we foster that? How do we foster our faith, our hope, that joy in times of trouble? Well, it's something that we're continuously trying to encourage, you know, as well as pursuing Him. It's getting into His Word. It's spending time with Him. But it's always being a people that give thanks. You know, we try and do that when we're encouraging people to give testimony for what God does. You know, even the smallest things. You know, we need to give thanks to our God. Boast in His goodness, even if we're on the losing side. Wow, that's hard. The psalmist says, "Lift up your heads, O you gates." You know, that I found that particularly challenging in these last couple of years. But gates are a metaphor for praise. They're formed in times of sacrifice. They're a place of entrance and access. You know, we can choose to enter in, to worship or not. The book of Revelation actually talks about the gates being made of pearls. And pearls are formed in times of irritation. What irritating situations or relationships are you going through right now, where we could practice our faith muscle? Hope in the promises of God. He wants to give us, or He wants us to give Him that offering in moments of difficulty, to be supernaturally creating that pearl. And we have to ask ourselves the question as well, what other colourful creations does God want us to become in an atmosphere of hope? What expectation of something good is going to happen that can be brought about by faith in the promises of our awesome God, His faithfulness, His trustworthiness? Our hope is in Him, and as a people of God, we have every reason to be different in this world, to define our circumstances or to be defined by them. Hallelujah.
Why are we doing this like this morning? It's because the challenge is, what in what we say, where do you struggle? Because where we struggle is where we will not fulfill being a healthy church. It's not believing that God has these purposes to use me in a way that I can't imagine. So our prayer in is, as we share, is where do you struggle in what we say? Because this is where we have to get right before God now, in being able to receive the wholeness from everything that we're going to be talking about in building a healthy church. In the things I'm going to say now, I've heard people say, not necessarily in this setting, but their attitude perhaps, or their approach, or even the way they speak, has shown this is how they think church is. And my challenge is, if that's anything that we think in ourselves here this morning, then just ask Father to give you the correct perspective of His church. See, often we see the church of today as having a tendency to put things off that require courage, faith, and action. I've heard it said that actually the powerful things of God were for another time. Acts. Acts is where all that started and finished. See, we might shake our head. I've heard that say. And if we're not careful, we let that subconsciously work into us. If we don't see something happen once, or maybe twice, or maybe it's not going to. No, that's not the church we're called to be. See, the mistaken idea is this. If it's good, it can't be for now. I've heard people say that. It's almost like we've got to beat ourselves with bushes. You know, it's a concept of not living in the freedom and the fullness of what Jesus has done for us. We can't possibly have fun and joy in church. It's got to be religious. You know, we must have pews. We mustn't move. We mustn't dance. We mustn't... We know that's not the people we're called to be. But actually, subconsciously, that can wash over us and affect our thinking and our steps. You know, a cornerstone of that theology of if it's good, it can't be for now, is that it's always going to get worse and worse. And that leads to a wrong thinking that actually even when tragedy happens in the church, it's just another sign of being in the last days. This is what happens. No, this is not what happens in his church. How does that marry up with being the hope to the world? And yet in some perverted sense, many Christians think the weakness of the church confirms that they're on the right course. I've heard that. The worsening condition of the world and the church becomes a sign to them that all is well. You know, that type of thinking requires no faith at all. We can get so entrenched in unbelief that anything contrary to the worldview is thought to be of the devil. So it is with the church having a dominant impact before Jesus returns. It's almost that we wanted to defend the right to be small in number and make it by the skin of our teeth. You know, I've heard people say, oh, I don't know if I want to see the church grow because I like it as it is. No. We're about taking his kingdom into this world. Embracing a belief system that requires no faith is dangerous. It is contrary to the nature of God and all that Scripture declares. Since he plans to do more and above all that we can ask and think. We know this verse well. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory outside the church. No, in the church and in Christ Jesus. Throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to come back to the verses before those at the end. But that is what God says he can do. Do we believe that? Yeah. And yet too often people are convinced of their unworthiness than of their worth and his worth in them. Too often, our inability takes a greater focus than does his ability. They're only slightly changing words, but they have a vast effect on our perception, our thinking, how we perceive what we feel God has called us to. But the same one who called fearless Gideon a valiant warrior... That's the who me, Lord, guy. A valiant warrior. And unstable Peter. We all know what Peter's like because we can all associate with what Peter's like. Unstable Peter, a rock. He calls us the body of his beloved son on earth. So we're a representation, physically, of his body on earth. That's you. That's me. Jesus had in mind more for us than just survival. We are destined to overcome. We have a promise from God that we are part of a company of people destined to do greater works than Jesus did in his earthly ministry. John 14:12, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than me, because I am going to the Father. That's a challenge, isn't it? His church will have significant influence in the last days, whenever they are. I'm not concerned when they are. All I'm concerned about is that everyone gets to hear about Jesus, gets to know Jesus. It was God who determined that the bride should be spotless and without wrinkle. It was God who declared in Isaiah, see, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. What is it God wants to do with you that will affect nations? See, these are days that God has planned to put us in, to the darkest situations, to demonstrate his kingdom. You know, when you go into a jewelry shop and a jeweler takes out a diamond, he doesn't put it against the white paper, does he? He puts it against a black cloth so that the brightness shines out from that jewel. So it is with the church. The dark condition of the world's circumstances is the backdrop upon which he displays his glorious church. The local church is the hope of the world. Rugeley Community Church is the hope of the world. The Great Commission puts us on the offense, not the defense. We are not left on this planet to be in hiding behind a bush waiting for Jesus to come. And you know, we have to fight that thought because of the way the world is and what it throws at us and the persecution and everything else that we see and all the godly values being undone. We can wrongly think, let's hold on till Jesus comes. No, we've got a voice. He's got purposes. He's empowered you by his Spirit to be different in this world. That you would be a diamond that would shine out in the darkest and darkest of circumstances. And you think, God, I can't do that. No, you can't do that. But he can do that in you and through you, because that is what he has called you to be and to do. And I've said this before, the moment we catch that in our hearts, this church will be unrecognizable. It will be a holy mess. We will have people here that we don't know whether they're saved or not saved. We don't know what their story is, what their background is. We will have interesting characters come into this church. But they are coming because what they see in you and me. They're coming because there's something in you that they cannot find in this world that is around us. And so, we must plan as though we have a lifetime to live, but work and pray as though we have very little time left. And you know, when I was writing that down, I felt God say to us as directors and a building team exactly those words. We must plan as though we have a lifetime to live. Get a God perspective, his picture. But work and pray as though we have very little time left. Let us all be seeking God's perspective to the issues of life. training ourselves to set our sights on things above, not on things on earth. That doesn't mean we become detached.
We're called to be in the world, yet not of the world. But in that, let us fulfill all that God has called us to be. And what has He called us to be? The hope of the world. I want you to say, I am the hope of the world. Great. Now there's no stopping you. Now there's no stopping you. Father has given us a wonderful facility, hasn't He? Well, I believe that's because of the people that are in it. Because that facility needs to reflect the purposes of the people He's called us to be. So I think He's got big purposes over us. He is seated in victory. And His purpose is that we are the hope of this world. Okay, I'd like you to stand. I'd like, guys, if we can sing that song, Your Kingdom, that last one, yeah. You can see why I'm not in the worship band. I'd like us to sing that in a sec, but I just want to pray over us, and I want to read some verses over us. And then through this song, I want you just to have freedom to enjoy it. But believe the words that are being sung through that as well. And just ask Father, where have I got a wrong perspective of You? In my part of being within Your church. You're all here for such a time as this. For such a time as this. If you give it all to God and let Him be Lord of your life, who knows where you will be in a year's time? He does. Who knows what you'll be doing in a year's time? He does. Who knows the history stories that Dave was saying? The testimonies, the healings. Who knows what you'll be sharing in a year's time? He does. Father, help us to catch Your potential for us. And in that, let us live life in abundance. It's not a meeting. It's life. And Lord, we are not an insignificant people. We are not here just to make it by the skin of our teeth. Help us to define our circumstances and not be defined by them. Help us to be atmosphere changers, Lord, because You have empowered us. You, Father, are fulfilling Your purposes through Your church, as we are the hope of the world. Just stay there. I just want to read the verses from Ephesians 16 to 19 that precede the now to Him who is able to do more. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. When we are filled up to the fullness of God, then He is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. So I ask You, Lord, as we sing this song, fill us up. And don't worry if you leak. You are made to leak. Because it's about relationship with Father. So be continually filled up. So Lord, I pray as we sing this song, fill us up and bring the truth of who we are as a hope to the world, Lord. Yeah, Father, we just pray that over the coming weeks, Lord, as we look at building a healthy church, you will awaken further that kingdom seed that is within each other of us, Father. Lord, I pray you'll water it, that you'll grow it, that our perception of being a church that is a hope for the world will work in our hearts, Father. That, Lord, you will outwork that, that we will be people that change atmospheres in this town, in this region, in this nation, to the nations, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you that you have purposed us. You've placed us here for such a time as this. Every single name, every single heart that comes to Rooted Community Church. Father, I pray, water that kingdom seed in Jesus' name. Amen.